Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. Today, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 6, Rock On! With an exclamation point. I'm Jess Sterling, and as always, I am joined by someone who knows nothing but a good time, Stuart! How are you?
Rock on!
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a rock concert, Jess? Like, you don't strike me as a concert person.
I'm not. Generally speaking, I'm not a massive concert person. I don't like large crowds. But yeah, I've been to see Journey 3 times, I think. Yeah, 3 times I've seen Journey.
3 times?
I was supposed to go a 4th, and then COVID happened, and then they never, like, rescheduled the concert, and I was devastated.
Wait. Post-Glee Journey.
I don't know why you say post-Glee Journey. Like, what do you mean by post-Glee Journey?
Because, really, were they that popular before Glee?
Like, they were always popular. How dare you? How absolutely dare you? They're iconic, and they're like, they've had greatest hits since, like, the 80s. What are you talking about?
I could not name one song of theirs except for that one.
Except for Don't Stop Believing?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm upset. Open Arms? Do you not know Open Arms?
No.
Wheel in the Sky?
You're saying words to me.
Who's Crying Now? Any Way You Want It? Faithfully? Oh, what are you doing? Love and Touch and Squeezing is iconic. How do you not know any of these?
I've probably heard them, but it's like, they've never been like such a big band. I'm like, sure. I'm sure it's wonderful.
Oh, this is so upsetting that you have, like, there are so many good, like, there are at least 10, like, incredible Journey songs that
I should have
everyone
so. Not for
know.
An album.
They have so many albums.
That doesn't tell me a good thing. If there's like 10 good songs and so many albums, that tells me that they're like kind of stretched out.
You have to know Any Way You Want It. That's the way.
Oh, is that them? Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm so angry. This is not a good way to start the podcast. I'm so mad right now. Journey is iconic, and like, how do you, okay, you have to know Faithfully and Open Arms. Now here now I come to you with open arms.
Whoosh. Straight up.
My husband is humming the rest of it in the corner. Good job, Will. Good job. Bad job, Stuart.
Get Will on.
Anyway.
Get Will on.
He, can he knows, right? Will, you know every song I just listed. Yeah. He said, yeah, he does. Yeah. Anyway, this is what a way to start the podcast. We're talking about Schitt's Creek, Rock On. As always, subscribe. go put on a Journey song right now. That pause this podcast, listen to a Journey song, come back, and then go in the comments and be like, Stuart, how dare you? That's it.
Or subscribe and protest. Do whatever you want to do.
But yeah, we are talking about Rock On today. Before we get into the recap, Stuart, what'd you think of this episode?
I thought it was a good one. Not one of the strongest ones of the season thus far, but a really good one. I think this is suffering from, I think, banger episodes, meaning the bar gets raised each and every time, and it's so high and hard to like live up to. So there's that. I'm not down on it. I just think that there have been stronger ones. I thought it was a good one, though. What did you think?
I'm with you. I think this is one of the weaker ones of the season. And it's part of it is because I think some of the storylines are a bit more like repetitive of other storylines we've had. And part of it is like the Patrick and David stuff, I feel like comes at a very weird time. Which I guess we'll talk about. I think the Jocelyn and the Jazzagals trip is probably my favorite storyline. And I don't even think that one is like particularly strong. So it's like, it's one of those things where I'm always going to enjoy Schitt's Creek. I'm always going to like enjoy an episode that I'm watching. But I definitely don't think this is one that I would go back to repeatedly. But all right, let's get into it. Let me do my little episode recap here. If you haven't rewatched the episode, gather your pot brownies, get on the bus. We're ready to rock. Jocelyn and the Jazzagals are looking forward to a much needed night out. But when the Poison concert gets canceled, they have to find some other way to blow off steam. Moira suggests just gambling at the casino where the concert is, and off they go. Jocelyn has a bit of a midlife crisis as she longs for the simpler times when she could rock on with no responsibilities. Unfortunately, this leads Jocelyn to getting a truly tragic haircut, which we will be talking about because it is horrifying. Wow. Yeah. Meanwhile, Patrick gets hit on at the store and David pushes him to go out on a date with young Ken. David has regrets when Alexis points out the flaws in his plan, including the fact that he didn't set any ground rules. Luckily, Patrick didn't even want to go out on a date with Ken, especially once he saw his weird pointed shoes. Lastly, Johnny thinks the motel needs some lessons in HR and plays a very outdated training video, VHS, from Rose Video. Shortly thereafter, he catches Stevie topless, sending a nude to Amir, and things get super awkward. And that's what happened on our episode, Stuart.
You talking about it in the recap actually makes me like think of it a little better than what I came out from it, even though I rewatched it like an hour ago. It's weird how that kind of works and stuff, because I'm just remembering like key moments that actually did make me quite chuckle, but again, not enough to like leave me with a lasting impression.
Yeah.
That makes me kind of think that this is a banger episode. Where should we start?
Up to you. We got the Jazzagals, we got Patrick and David, and then, of course, the motel drama.
Should we get the motel out of the way?
Please, let's. Because this is kind of what I was referring to when I said it feels like we've kind of done this storyline before. Like, we've done the whole Johnny's bad with tech, Roland doesn't have his cell phone due to Johnny. Like, we've had similar sorts of misunderstandings between Johnny and Stevie. And like, I also don't understand why it's like, Roland, you have a massive stain on your shirt. That means we're going to watch an HR video from Rose Video that is so old and outdated. What is even the purpose of this? Just literally, Johnny, all you have to say is, Roland, stop being a slob and wear a shirt without stains on it to work. Problem solved. Are they having other HR issues?
Possibly. I mean, maybe there is some like awkwardness that we haven't seen. What gets me though is they're being rushed out of their house. Moira's like crying over which wigs to bring. Johnny remembers to bring these HR tapes with him.
This felt like almost he goes on eBay and like finds it, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's the case, but yeah, it just is a little ridiculous. I don't know. I don't want Johnny walking in on Stevie topless, like sending a a nude selfie. I guess the part that did make me laugh was then when she gets a reply from Amir and she's like, I'm going to take the rest of the afternoon off. And I'm like, did Johnny just literally see Amir's dick? Like, is that what just happened? Yeah.
100%. The reaction is absolutely like receive the dick pic kind of like vibe, because like Johnny and Ronan are like, whoa, like almost like,
yeah,
I shouldn't be seeing that completely. I'm just perplexed by this whole situation, because not only do we have like Johnny rifling around for these HR tapes and like somehow finding them or somehow bringing them with him, but then we also have the absurdity of Stevie taking a topless selfie at work in an adjacent room from a reception area with an open door, which is bonkers to me.
Close the door. This is now the second show that I've seen in recent memory that has had this situation where someone is taking like a nude selfie to sext to someone else and is just unaware of their surroundings. And how often is this happening to people? Like, go in a bathroom. Like, I'm not, you know, don't get the toilet in the shot or anything, but like pick a place where people aren't going to run into you. And that is the bathroom. No one's going to question what you were doing in there. You know, why are we going in places where you could be walked in on?
Yeah, I don't think the real like kind of the composition, the setting, the background is of concern during this whole endeavor.
You'll never know.
It's the heat of the moment. They're in like the honeymoon phase. They're doing dumb, stupid shit. And so I can forgive, I guess, like that. But it's the open door. I'm like, even just a sense of just like, oh gosh, this might happen. I might get put on a register if like the wrong person kind of walks through the door kind of like situation. But equally, Johnny comes in and announces himself. And instead of saying, do not come in here, it's, wait a minute.
Yeah, this is, okay, this is my other problem with this storyline, is I think other shows have done it better than what Schitt's Creek did here, as like an example, right? There is a storyline in The Office where Pam knocks on like the Michael's office door and he says, come in. She walks in and he's in the middle of changing in his office and she sees the stuff. And then it's like a whole thing where she's upset that he said, come in. And he's like, no, you should have double checked. Like, it's a whole argument between them. But it's stupid. But again, it's funnier. I don't
remember that, but yeah.
The way it's the fun run episode, because he's changing into like his jogging shorts, his bicycle shorts. But I just think other shows have done it better. And again, like, is Stevie facing the door? Like, if I'm taking like a nude selfie, I'm facing, again, not only am I not choosing this room to do this in, I'm closing the door and I'm facing away from the door so that even if someone walks in, they're not getting the view of the tatas. You know what I mean? Like, just what is happening? Like, it's all a little ridiculous. And on top of that, Stuart, like, I almost feel like they did the storyline backwards, because what the reasoning for the HR video being shown doesn't really track to me. It would have made more sense if Johnny walked in on Stevie and then they do the HR video as like a result. So it all just feels a little backwards and silly and kind of like we've been here before, and not in this exact way, obviously, but like we've had kind of sort of similar storylines.
Yeah, I wonder if they could let go of the joke of like when the picture started emerging and things, and Johnny goes, oh, if I'd have been aware, I would have had the Polaroid tape one, which was like so funny when talking about the age of it all.
Yeah.
Which was so funny. But I don't know. Yeah, this whole thing was just really jarring. I think you're absolutely on the money though of changing the order of it, because if it opened with that like cold open scene, like Johnny walks into the back room, we have the scream and running out and stuff, and then bum 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 titles, and then we get into the training. Can you imagine a storyline which is just them having to endure the training and just watching old clips of Moira's old like training videos?
Yes.
I would watch a whole episode of those alone.
her mentioning Sunrise Bay like is so funny. What is she? A double cassette of the best body swaps of Sunrise Bay. Like, it's
season
so
21,
funny.
If I remember rightly. But it's been so multiple funny. Seasons with multiple body swaps that there's a best of per season. Fantastic.
It's game. Perfect. It's perfect. I loved it. That was the thing that probably worked the most for me in this entire storyline is just Moira on a cassette tape, and the guy just like gently placing his hand on her butt. And then of course he asks her out, which is so inappropriate. And it's like, well,
fast forward.
I love the pause. That is certainly the best part of this entire storyline. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just didn't quite work for me. I will say the other thing I did like about this storyline on the more positive side is I love Johnny finding out that it's Amir, because obviously he just sees a dick, so he doesn't know whose dick that is. I love him being like, oh, I hope this guy makes you happy, blah, blah, blah. And Stevie reveals, oh, it's Amir. And he's like, oh, the one that asked you out to lunch. Well, he seems like a nice guy. He has good taste in motels. He clearly likes you a lot. And I'm not just saying that because of the photo. beyond the joke part of it all, I think it's very sweet that Johnny does care and is like invested in Stevie's love life, and it feels very like fatherly, very paternal of him. And so I really did like that aspect of it, even though the storyline as a whole didn't really work for me.
I'll give Johnny some kudos. Like, he's incredibly sweet. The whole dynamic of him, again, like kind of being quite fatherly and protective, but also just being kind of like on Stevie's level and being like, well, as a business partner, as a friend, like he's looking out for Stevie in the right ways, even if he does kind of get a bit clumsy now and then, which I'm beginning to forgive a little bit more. Like, in this one, I found Johnny so incredibly charming throughout this entire
episode. It's not, and none of this feels like it's his fault. You know what I mean?
No, not at all, no.
Maybe don't look at someone else's phone when they get an alert, but also put a passcode on your phone. Though.
Roland was the one that picked it up, so blame him. Like, that.
None of this really feels like Johnny's fault. None of this really feels like his fault beyond the super outdated VHS tape, which was entertaining, so I didn't mind. Let's talk about Patrick and David and their storyline. It's funny. It is funny. And I love David being like, oh, maybe if, you know, I was the one out on the floor, then I'd be getting a number from Ken. And they're like, maybe not so much. But I guess this feels kind of like a little bit of a regressive storyline to me. Like, we're at the point where David and Patrick were like talking about moving in together. You know what I mean? They've been dating for a while. So it feels a little bit like we're taking a step back when David's like, but I'm the only man you've ever dated. Like, shouldn't you try to date someone else? I don't know. It just felt like it came at the wrong time. Why was this not a storyline like earlier in their relationship? You know?
I can see that. I can also say it from David's perspective a little bit, because I was a bit kind of like on the fence as to whether or not it's kind of very awkward to like shoehorn in, and almost to like kind of force David to seem like kind of more encouraging than he like really would be, I guess. Which I guess the whole point of like David's whole situation is that David is kind of forcing himself to do it. But yeah, I it does come at a really strange time. But I guess it's I see it's just another way in which they're cementing their relationship, really. It's like, it's just throwing yet another hurdle at it that they almost like leap well over. And so that it's almost like signaling, you don't have to worry, these two are going to be together forever. You don't need to like kind of be concerned. Did I need it? Probably not, really.
The best part about it is David freaking out and Alexis making things worse by being like, what are the ground rules? And he's like, what do you mean? She's like, I do love Alexis being like freaking him out accidentally. And then Patrick, of course, like, was never even interested. I like that wasn't the hurdle, right? That Patrick wasn't even interested in going out with this guy. Like, he didn't want to in the first place. He really only does it because like David kind of makes him or says he should. And yeah, we could have had a storyline where Patrick then is like, is David like pushing me away? Like we could mm-hmm. have had that, but I do think that would be a bit unrealistic. Like that wouldn't track. So again, like that
might be a bit too drama coded if that yes. was like rather than comedy coded. Yeah,
exactly. So there, yeah. So like, again, there are parts of it that worked for me, but overall I just didn't love this storyline. I will say there was a thing that worked really well for me, and I'm going to show everyone what it was. If you're with us on YouTube, listen, when Patrick takes that number and pockets it and then does that little wink at Alexis, he's wearing blue. Just
he always wears blue.
I'm just saying. there's something about it. That wink does something for me, Stuart. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, he's a gorgeous person. And it is criminal to look as good as you do while also being incredibly vulnerable and like kind of like you just want to like protect him at all costs. Mm-hmm. You just want to be like, no. Like, don't get anxious about your relationship. It's fine. Like, you're okay, buddy. It's so well done. Like, I can't get my head around why we are trying to kind of, I guess, throw more kind of precariousness at the situation with them. Yeah. Like, I love them. Let's just throw them into funny scenarios. Let's not throw them into scenarios where I think perhaps maybe like their relationship's going to get a bit rocky and a bit shaky. Don't need these tests. Don't need it at all. Even if Ken is like a nice like slice pie or whatever, I don't need it. They don't need it. Let's just skip over it. It's clunky,
yeah,
and it doesn't work for me. It despite the fact that all these individual jokes really do work. It's just a setup.
Patrick saying this is going to sound totally petty, but something about his shoes just made me feel really weird because they were long and pointy. But then, and Patrick just goes squared off at the toe. I know. It's okay.
His reaction when David is there, he's like, I know. And he looks so pained.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. That reaction made me laugh so much. And it was such a small little fleeting moment. And then they just embraced. It's like, Heather, it's okay.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So that I really like you said, it's like the individual parts are fine. The individual jokes are fine, but overall the storyline doesn't really do much for me, especially when, and I say this wholeheartedly, I feel like we are at the point in the series, Stuart, where I'm not spoiling anything when I say this. Patrick and David are one of my favorite television couples of all time. Like it is, they are so just everything about their relationship is goals and none of it feels forced. None of it feels like drama for drama's sake. Like, oh, we're going to split them up and put them back together. Like, listen, I love Friends. I love it so much. The Ross and Rachel-ification of television, right? Like it's not good when it's like, we're breaking up, we're back together. We're breaking up, we're back together. Like, I don't like that like pendulum swing. And I love Patrick and David so much that just this is just like is a story that doesn't really do their relationship justice, I think.
That's really fair to say. And like I thought the Ross and Rachel of every TV relationship is just so infuriating, because it's like you don't have to engineer problems for suspense and for like people's engagement. I think what this show has nailed is that like when people are happy and when we see people thriving and succeeding, we adore them and we're so happy for them. And that is more engaging than just engineered, cultivated drama for the sake of drama. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that this storyline is meant to be that. I'd like to think that it's more looking at it from like a kind of, I guess like a bit of a kind of like progressive queer lens of relationship nowadays, right. But that is open to the idea of people being pan and to the idea of like, okay, well, if someone is only going along with the gender for like for this relationship and is all in on it, perhaps there is like the aspect of like, well, perhaps I would like to try the rest of the buffet that is out there. But I don't think it was very well articulated because it was such a kind of like forced thing. And I don't know how you would really do it where it's not feeling so forced, which is the problem, I guess. It's just the nature of the actual story itself rather than their execution of it. I think it's just a choice to include it at all. It's tough because I kind of want to, in one hand, I want to appreciate it for what it is, and I want to appreciate it for like kind of being a unique kind of perspective. But then equally, it also feels very well trodden and very tropey. So I'm like,
I do think I wouldn't mind this storyline as much, maybe if it just comes earlier in their relationship. Like, yeah. I think if they're starting to get serious and very suddenly David is like, wait a minute, I'm the only guy you've ever dated. Like, you should probably date other people and make sure that this is what you want. And like, that would make more sense to me if we weren't this far into their relationship at this point. It's like, what is David doing? You know, like, you could be jealous. We've seen both of them have their bouts of jealousy. Totally fine. But like, it just, it didn't quite land for me. I think the Alexis stuff is some of my favorites in terms of this overall storyline. I really love at the very end when Patrick and David are hugging and David looks at Alexis and she does this little blink, which is just like something about the way Annie Murphy is able to just like do a tiny, teeny, tiny gesture that speaks all the words you ever need. She's like, she's just like, it's like she's giving him a wink hug. I don't know what this is, but I love it. A little blinky hug. I love it so much.
Yeah. It's almost like, you're adorable. This is precious. We did well. It's all good. You're fine. You're safe. And like, it's
all in a blink.
All wrapped in. All in that. Yeah. I also love the fact that when she's on the phone to Ted and like, is the anxiety for David is ramping up and she's like, oh, could you imagine?
It's so funny. I love Alexis so much. So
evil.
She's the best. She's like, well, now I feel bad leaving you here because like, and he's like, well, what's going to happen? She's like, I don't know yet. Like something that could happen. It's awful.
Hopefully we don't get there.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The Alexis was so funny. And also, again, like the, we'll always kind of, I think, praise like their relationship as siblings because like when they're in the store earlier on, and she's saying, oh, I think he looked younger than 30. And he's like, fuck off, Alexis.
Yeah. And then what does he say after that? She goes to say something.
Find a stick and shove it or something.
Yeah, and he gets like interrupted in the middle of saying that. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. Yeah, he says, get fucked, Alexis. hey, Alexis, find a stick. And then Patrick interrupts him. But yeah, I just love it. It's very much like the eat glass moment. Anything else on this storyline before we jump over to the jazz gals?
Not that I can think of. I think it would have been quite funny to like, I don't know. I was thinking like, oh, maybe it would have been good to have like a bit more Ted in it. But I think having Ted over the phone was just enough to know that like him and Alexis are like almost like, when it comes to other people and like the, I guess the kind of like slightly kind of relationship judgingness, but them two are just chaos demons, I think, together. I think they really do encourage each other.
Like, yeah, I think so. Can you believe that, babe? No, babe, I can't. Like you can just sense that they would be so judgmental of other relationships. Oh my God, I can't believe it, babe.
Yeah.
Oh, vomit. I can't. okay, let's talk about the Jezebels. So they're supposed to be going to a Poison concert, and Jocelyn is so excited, and she needs this, Stuart. Like, we know she has every storyline with Jocelyn this season so far has been about how, like, exhausted and overwhelmed she is and just tired of being mom 24/7. She needs a night out, and poor Jocelyn gets her freaking concert canceled for, like, what is it, the Doodle Bops or something, like some, like, what, like, I mean this feels like it's a what's the British mash banana, what's that one,
the what?
Okay, there was a children's group. Like, I was an adult by the time this was a thing. Mashed banana, song. Wiggles, mashed the Wiggles.
Banana?
I think they're British, because I'm pretty sure the way they say it, right? Are the Wiggles British? They're Australian. Sorry, they're Australian, not British.
How dare you?
Well, I just knew they said banana, and I was like, that's not American. So that was her. I was like, banana sounds British. They're Australian. Do you not know about the Wiggles?
No, I've never heard of them before. I've heard of, like, your, like Raffi's American, right? Which is like a kid's song. Like,
I don't know anything about that one.
I know Banana Phone.
Ring, 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 banana phone. Oh. That one.
Yeah.
And I there's bananas in pajamas. Coming down the stairs.
Why are there so many banana things for, like, kids' TV?
I don't. Kids like banana. They want kids to eat their fruits.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. So I'm just trying to see it when they, like, the height of their popularity. Okay.
Now we're delving really into, like, full on Pappy Land territory again.
Oh, I love Pappy. Okay, so, like, 2001, 2002 ish, I think, is when they were, like, really, really popular. I just remember the fruit salad, yummy, yummy. There was, like, a song about fruit salad.
Don't know that. Do know VeggieTales, though.
I never watched VeggieTales. I feel like. Okay, so you know how in certain households there's like you can't watch this, it's bad for children. Mm-hmm. I feel like in my household it would have been more of a, like, you can't watch this, it is super Christian.
Yeah.
So
that
yeah.
would have been my family, I think, as well. But, like, I don't know how because VeggieTales, like, it must have been, like, the emergence of the internet and stuff. But I just remember there being this, oh, where is my hairbrush? And that being stuck in my head for, like, years.
Why does a vegetable need a hairbrush?
It was a cucumber, if I remember right. Like,
cucumber doesn't have hair.
Do any vegetables have hair, Jessica?
Broccoli. The little right, bush definitely. At the top.
Okay, you got me there. Thank all right, so I will concede defeat there.
Why did I have that answer ready immediately? Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. So dumb.
Anyway, back to the Doodle Bops. But
yeah,
of all things.
Kids, Doodle Bops concert. Roland Julian is a fan of Wobbly Whoopsie, which I would love to hear.
It sounds exactly like something that is real, even though it's not, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds believably real. And so poor Jocelyn, like, all she wants is a night out with the gals, and the concert gets canceled. And I love Moira's idea to be like, well, the concert's at a casino. Why don't we just, like, go gambling? Like,
yeah,
why the heck not? And then they get on this school bus ready to go. And Moira has her provisions, which are like, what did she bring? It was like some kind of
industrial strength caffeine that she got from Condoleezza Rice.
Caffeine. Oxygen drops, antibacterial wipes, and military grade caffeine pills. Which, what the heck is an oxygen drop?
I'm guessing it's like a boost of oxygen. I don't know.
I mean, the thing is I've always heard, and I don't know if this is true, and I certainly don't know if this is true in Canada, but I've always heard that, like, they pump oxygen into casinos to allow people to, like, stay up later and gamble more.
That seems like something that they would do, but also seems very kind of conspiracy coded. Although they take away clocks and things, don't they, to make you lose your sense of time. They don't have
exactly. There's, like, no windows, so you have no idea what time of day it is. And on top of that, I mean, they probably have to pump oxygen in there because everyone's smoking. So, like, you need some extra oxygen
inside.
In casinos, yeah, it's gross. Oh, there's like no disgusting smoking sections, but like high smoking is in the air. Like, what do we mean? But yeah, so this is what Moira is bringing, the military grade caffeine pills. And they're like, wait a minute, I thought you brought the essentials. And she's like, duh, these are the essentials. No, no, they're not, Moira. You know who actually has the essentials? Jocelyn, because she has magic brownies and champagne.
THC, carbohydrates, and champagne.
What's not to love? I would totally try one of Jocelyn's magic brownies.
Oh, yeah. I bet they're so good because, like, Home Ronin's, like, they're not strangers to the devil's lettuce. Exactly. And it seems that I reckon that, like, Jocelyn's been making these on the regs for years. I think she's got, like, the recipe down.
Exactly my thought,
too. I bet they're potent as hell. I reckon you open that Tupperware and everyone's going to get contact high just from, like, sniffing it.
Yeah. And, like, all these gals look like they can party, you know, like every single one of
woo
them
gals, like they're all wooing the
yeah, every single one of them. Twyla, she can get it. Like, I mean, let's be real, we know who the number one partier is
on the bus.
Yeah,
I mean, we know it's Moira because she's like an absolute fiend for like all of the
Gwen.
Gwen is the comedy answer, right? Because we don't know anything about Gwen.
This is such a, like, I'm actually pretty devastated at how often we see the character of Gwen and don't hear from her. And most of the times where we get funny storylines with Gwen is like with Bob on the phone with Gwen. So she's not even on our screen. You know,
are we sure this is the same Gwen?
That is Gwen.
Are we sure that's not like, I mean, it is Gwen because it's the same one that was in the cabin.
Yes.
Are we sure that maybe could Bob be making all of this up? Like, that's, do you think he's like inventing conversations on the phone with Gwen?
He's pretending to be on the phone with Gwen.
Maybe they're not together. Maybe they never. Maybe they split up, like,
it's off a whole
the cabin
farce
or something, and he's just been pretending they're together, and he's, like, inventing all of these absurd stories.
That's real tragic sad.
If that's... Go back, season wrap-up, put that in my predictions.
Oh, great.
I'm adding it. I'm okay, adding great, it.
Perfect, do it. So... They do eventually, so they do some gambling, but Jocelyn just, like, seems really sad. Because she says, if you told me years ago I'd be sitting here with an empty chip bucket, stoned out of my mind at a Doodle Bops concert, I would have lit a menthol and had a laugh.
such a funny line. Because, like, I never smoked when I was a teenager, but, like, or when I was young or any ever, really. Everyone who did went through a menthol stage that I know of that smoked. I was like, what are you doing, you weirdos?
I've never smoked a cigarette, so like menthol makes it like minty, right? Is that like the point? Okay, that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
Just here, you want some mint with your horrible tobacco? Like, yes. Sure. What do I know? It just, so you had said you connected with Jocelyn's storyline here, right? She talks about, like, it's basically just like the problems with aging. Like, she feels younger than she actually is. And I think part of it, if I had to guess, was like the last time she had to do all of this parenting baby stuff was with Mutt, like 20 some odd years ago. So like, I'm sure at this point it's like when she picks up Roland Jr., it's like, oh, he's so much heavier than I remembered Mutt being, like my back, you know? Like, I think part of it is that and I just
think it's 10 times harder. It's gotta be, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, I think life is on hard mode as it is when I'm getting older. Like, I can't imagine having a baby on top of it. Like, the idea of having to tend to a young child at any hour of the night at the moment ruins me. Like, I need my sleep. I need it.
I only got like 6 hours last night and I feel like death. I can't explain. I stayed up late. I stayed up too late, and I woke up only like an hour later than I usually do. And I feel so tired today. I'm having coffee literally right now as we speak because I'm so tired. And I got 6 hours. I'm tired.
6 hours, honestly, is a gift. As someone who has to contend with time zones and playing D&D with people on the East and West Coast, 6 hours is a precious gift. You are outrageous for saying
Stuart,
that.
I'm an 8 hour girly, okay?
8 hours?
I'm okay. Generally speaking, that is being generous, I would say. Like, generally speaking, I'm laying in bed by 10:30, 11 at the latest, right? Mm-hmm. And generally, I'm waking up around 6-ish. So, like, probably closer to like 7 hours if I fall asleep right away. But yeah, I need like 7 hours minimum to not feel like my eyelids are heavy and that I just am moving slower than I should be. And like, I'm not going to apologize for that. Okay, I need my rest. And I'm also a bit grumpy if I don't get enough sleep. I just get whiny and grumpy and no one likes that.
Yeah. So imagine that soupy feeling with a baby as well.
I don't want to.
No. And I feel so much sympathy for Jocelyn with this whole situation, because as you do get older, you tend to feel the effects of life and everything is just dialed up in terms of like things being harder and you feel weaker, and then you look at yourself and you're like, I'm a pale shadow of what I used to be. I can sympathize with that. Yeah. Moira says probably the most, I think, a very wise thing that it's meant, I think, meant to be a joke, but I took some really profound wisdom in it, in that you'll soon learn that we aging mortals are blessed with weakening eyes and memories, so we don't have to really see ourselves.
It's true, though. It's like we're protecting ourselves. Like, you don't actually want to know how you look or actually, like, feel. You know, it's so true, though. Like, it's so true. Aging is one of those things that, gosh, listen, don't get me wrong. I think like I will never, my 30s have been as difficult as they've been with the world, not because of, you know, as much personal stuff, but the world. My 30s are way better than my 20s. Like, your 20s are a shit show of your time, of your life. Like, they are like, for most people probably, right? Like, you're like, so much happens in your 20s. You're graduating high school. You're off to college. You're like trying to establish your life and figure out who you are. And like, by the time, at the very least, by the time you're in your 30s, you figure out that no one else has it figured out and that everyone's life is kind of a shit show. So you don't have to feel guilty for your life being a little bit of a shit show, you know? So at the very least, by your 30s, you're like, well, everybody's a little bit miserable. So that's fine. And you maybe have a better inkling of who you are as a person.
Is it fine?
No, of course it's not fine. But like, Stuart, I'm on antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. I have to say that, you know?
It's fine. Everyone else is miserable, so this is normal. It's a sad reality, but yeah, it's true. Yeah,
it's just your life is always going to feel like, oh my gosh, when did I get this old? But like, also, I'm gonna take a quote from our Canadian friend, Dr. Melissa, and like, aging is a blessing because the alternative is like literally you're dead. Like, so I take aging now. There are certain things I don't want. You know, there are worse things than death, in my opinion, in terms of growing old and all of those things. I think that was something that we discussed very heavily, actually, in our Last of Us podcast, specifically season 1, episode 3. And just like, what's the alternative to aging? Mm-hmm. And maybe dying isn't the worst possible thing that could happen to you. But yeah, like, getting old is difficult. And I feel like Jocelyn is really reckoning with the fact that she is older than she feels, and that having this baby, while having a young baby, I think kind of makes you feel young in certain respects, it's really, she feels like she's showing her age because of how much it's taken out of her to parent Roland Jr. at her age. And it's tough.
It really is. And it's not fair on Jocelyn either, because it might not be age, it might just be this baby. But you get people that have like multiple kids and they find that some are more difficult than others. whether it's down to like the kid or whether it's down to like just the experience.
Stuart,
like,
you're an oldest, so you have a younger brother, right? And
you're an oldest. I was like, what?
I'm a child. I didn't say the word child. You're the oldest child out of two, right? Now, were you like easy baby and your brother was hard baby? Was it the opposite? Do you know?
I was a dream.
You just said that with like, no, you don't actually know that.
No idea.
See, I know that I
was a particularly shitty toddler. Not gonna even sugarcoat that. Okay, I'm gonna put this on the internet. My mum once told me a story about how I went through a period when I was a toddler of being like, I don't want to be out here like going to the high street and going shopping. And then mum would be like, well, you have to. And I'd be like, no. And then she'd be like, well, we can't go home. And I'd be like, okay. And then just hold my breath.
Would you like pass out?
And I would pass out. And my mum took me to the doctor because she was like, is he going to hurt himself? And the doctor was just like, no, just let him do it. Like, body functions will kick.
That was my instinct as well, just to be like, oh, fuck you, kid. Like, pass out, man. What's going to happen? Yeah. You're going to just start breathing
again.
Body
functions are going to kick in. You'll breathe. You'll be fine. Just make sure you don't fall over and stuff like that. But I have no recollection of that as an adult.
You're a monster.
And I have the guilt for it and stuff. But when my mom told me this, I was like, are you serious? And then she was like, yeah. And I was like, why did you keep me? I would have given me up.
That's awful. That's awful. So,
an awful toddler by the sounds of
things. Yeah.
Yeah, not great.
I have an older brother, so I'm the younger one. And from everything I've heard, I think if my parents had me first, they probably would not have had a second. Because I was a terrible baby. I think my brother and I had opposite trajectories. He was the easiest baby/toddler that's ever existed. Like, even after he learned to walk, you could set him down on a playmat with some toys around him and leave him for hours and he wouldn't move. Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't learn to walk. I learned to run, and you couldn't contain me. And I was just the worst baby. I would cry all the time. I never slept. I didn't ever want to go to anyone but my mom, which, imagine my dad. Imagine me just like constantly hurting his feelings every single day. Like, that's probably what happened. Like, I was awful. But I think we both hit a certain point where then I became the easier one to parent once school started, and my brother became the difficult one because he never tried in school. So he was like the one they had to focus that energy on. So I guess it kind of all evens out. But I've always heard that the first baby is way easier than your second baby in terms of sleeping and kind of all of those normal functioning things. But who knows if that's actually true. I believe it. Like, I believe that probably Mutt just seems like he would just do nothing. So probably Roland seems Jr. like is more
Mutt probably was a dream baby and then turned out to be a shit.
Opposite trajectories. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, got into, like, had to do community service and stuff. Obviously, didn't end up being like the best.
Yeah.
So, of course, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about how? So, they go to a place called Bucky's for chicken. Now, I looked this up. This is not a real place, but there is a thing. Have you ever heard of Bucky's, like, in the United States? It's a convenience store chain.
No.
It's spelled differently. It's spelled Bucees. Bucky's, I've never been to one because they only really exist in the South. But like, they have
I've seen the logo before. Yeah,
the logo is this like beaver, and they're these massive convenience stores. Like, and they have their merch, like everything has this beaver's face on it. And they sell everything. Like, they have like 20,000 zillion gas pumps at a Bucky's.
Whoa.
I've never been to one. But I thought that's what they were referring to, but this is a fake chicken place. That seems kind of like KFC.
Yeah, absolute KFC. And like, cause it's quite funny. Cause like, when they've been to Bucky's and Twyla's there with clearly a bucket of chicken, and then Ronnie's like, oh, I didn't think it would be all chicken. It's like, well, it's clearly a tricky place. Ronnie, come on. Like, what are you playing?
Black Forest tenders was on the dessert menu. Disgusting.
I was thinking that sounds fantastic.
Black Forest is like chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have
you ever taken a chicken tender and like dunked it in a milkshake or something?
No.
Do it.
I've done french fries in a milkshake, which is good.
Same principle. Something like salty, crunchy. Give it a dunk.
Chicken?
So good.
Weird. Jocelyn shows up back at the bus. She's running late. She made decisions. And I feel like by the end of the episode, she knows that she did something wrong. She knows she's made a mistake.
You think?
Because everyone is like, oh, wow. And she's just like, yeah, I know. I feel, you know, did you recognize me from earlier? I have a new hairdo. I'm just going to, we're going to do, I think, Moira's wig watch just a little bit early because we got, I can't.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Subtitles.
Ta-da.
Giggles.
It's horrifying. It's like a helmet. Like it just, it has so much volume and it's yet like it's so short.
It's like one of those big fluffy like Russian hats that they like park on your head. Like it's.
And Jocelyn's hair already wasn't that great to begin with. So I didn't really know it could get worse.
Outrageous. Drag Jocelyn. Yeah, this is not a good look. I hope maybe there's some rescuing of it that can be done.
Like, she's going to have to wear one of Moira's wigs to get by.
I don't think Moira's wigs will fit over this. Like, this is voluminous.
Wet it down. It's just.
Cement it down.
Who did this to her? Did she go to like a Supercuts? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Well, you have Supercuts like, in Britain, Stuart?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I get the reference. But like, have you seen Fleabag, right?
I love Fleabag, yeah. Oh my god, sister's hair.
When the sister gets the haircut, and it's like, no, that's what she asked for. This is what happened here. Now, Jocelyn is inebriated. I think that's her one get-out-of-jail-free card here, in terms of, like, not judging her too much. I will put it down to that. And she's also following some, like, perhaps dubious advice from Moira, because, like, if she feels 19, like, she should be 19... No. If she feels 19, she should wise up and realize that she's getting old and accept it. She shouldn't like act that young age. It's just awkward. But she's got no one else to blame except herself, sadly.
Yeah, it's just sad looking. I hate it. I hate it so much. Bless poor Jocelyn. Her. We'll see what happens next episode, but that's Jocelyn's hair. Anything else about the Jazzy Gals storyline you wanted to touch on?
I guess I like the continuation of the ongoing theme of them having slight digs at each other about their solos. Like getting on to Twyla about it. Twyla just be like, huh? Like just catching strays. I kind of like that.
Love Twyla offering, it's like, well, does the cafe have a smoke machine? She's like, well, I can have him burn something on the grill for you. She's so Twyla's sweet so and well-meaning, you know?
She really is.
I love her.
Bless her.
Okay, let's get into some feedback. We did get a message from Aaron, who starts off with Saz. I haven't been keeping up very well lately. I just love how Australians can do just shorten anything to have a Z at the end. It just makes me so happy. Like Saz, like sorry.
I like how Australians, they'll add like VO to most things or like insults.
Oh, like Devo for like devastating.
Yeah, exactly. That my favorite thing my friend Debs, who's Aussie, would say is that apparently an insult for like someone who's poor is to call them a povo.
That's incredible. God, they really know how to just, they have such a wonderful language. I love it so much.
They've dedicated like alcohol shops called Bottle-O's.
Bottle-O's?
Bottle-O.
Bottle-O.
Like a bottle store.
Wow. God, yeah, incredible.
Wild.
Okay, so Aaron says, Jocelyn was never queen of fashion. Is that supposed to be fashion?
Fashion.
But what the hell has happened to her? Why is she so daggy now? Aaron, what are you saying? Like, what is happening here? I'm looking this
Aaron
up.
Aaron is bogling it up right now.
I have no idea what's happening. Daggy means not fashionable or attractive. Is this a thing for Brits too?
Not for Brits.
Okay, no. I had to Google this. Why is she so daggy now? Jocelyn has never been the height of fashion, so I feel like this is actually pretty in line with her character.
I think that we blame this entirely on the lack of the blouse bun. Blastmon has gone away, and thus Jocelyn doesn't have her repository for fine garments and fine stylings. Wendy is sorely needed, and we need to bring her back because Jocelyn needs her.
Bring back the blouse barn. My God, that sentence. Why did I say that sentence? I made it more difficult for myself. Yeah, totally agree. Aaron continues. Also, this is a bit of a nothing burger episode. The night out doesn't really have any shenanigans except for the bad haircut. Stevie stuff is meh and aux. And David stuff also doesn't really go anywhere. At least the average episodes are few and far between in these last two seasons, which honestly, I pretty much agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
Incredible. Aaron, please use more Australian vernacular anytime send in feedback. Please. It's so funny. Amazing. Daggy? I learned so much.
Wait, Jess, if she does, will you read it in Australian accent?
She wouldn't want that. No one wants that. No one wants that.
I want that. I want that chaos.
You just want to get all the Australians mad at me.
Okay, get us to 200 subscribers on YouTube and we'll do an entire episode in Aussie accent.
Oh, God, it's awful. I don't even know. I can't really do an Australian accent. Like, I could try, but it's not very good.
I think I could, but it would be very offensive.
Any accent I do is offensive. Like, that's just everything, you know? Every accent I do, I'm offending someone. Okay, let's do feedback here. Or not feedback, sorry. Let's do ratings. Simply the best. I think this is a tougher one to like give out things for. Do you have someone on the brain as to who should get simply the best point?
Who did some nice things? Alexis kind of did help David a little bit, but then she also did really escalate things, inflame things, and make it bad. Moira did give Jocelyn some kind of good advice. I say with air quotes because it's kind of like depends on interpretation. This is a tough one. So maybe Twyla, because at least she's just genuinely sweet, but I don't think I'm gonna. So you can delete that, Jess. I think
don't look at the document, Stuart. Jeez.
I'm gonna give it to Johnny. Because I think he's a little bit clumsy and a little bit buffoony and a little bit boomery with his whole old HR tapes and stuff like that. I think his heart's still in the right place and he was very lovely in that whole situation. Yeah. I think he probably made the best of it. Good.
So here's the thing. I really wanted to give it to one character for supplying champagne and pot brownies for an entire busload of people. But then she got that truly horrific haircut and I just couldn't do it. So ultimately where I'm going to land, and you judge me all you want. I don't care. Okay. I will take shit for this. What are you doing? Why are you making that face? Listen, I can't help it if a man winks and I melt. Okay. Patrick is getting my point. That. Not just for the wink, but also I love the line of like, he just had these shoes. Like, it just cracked me up. Like, it's so endearing. And he's so sweet about the whole situation. I love Patrick and he's getting my point.
I was so not on board until you mentioned that his reaction to the shoes. And I was like, actually, fair point.
Listen, do I simp for Patrick? Yes. But that's besides.
We all do. If you don't, you're a liar.
If you're human, you do. All right, let's do disgruntled pelican points. This is the one where I kind of feel like there's some options. Cause like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Jocelyn gets a bad haircut. It's not a great episode for her.
Yeah, but again, she also supplies the prop brownie. So that evens itself out, I think, for me. I am going to give it to the person who decides it's a great idea to take a topless selfie at work. This is bad. This is so bad. Like, Stevie, this is 100% your fault.
I think that this is so deserved because you can't be at a party on your phone in one episode and in the next episode still be in that same honeymoon phase doing dumb teenage shit like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stevie, I feel like this is a wake-up call that we're sending Stevie. We're saying, Stevie, get shit together, girl.
Please.
Like, come on. You're better than this. She's better than this. Amir is sweet, and you're sweet, and the two of you are delightful together. But get over yourselves.
Take a pic of your boobs on your own time or go into the bathroom like a normal person. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, so poor Stevie. She's going to, I assume she's also getting your disgruntled pelican point this episode.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Yeah. Who else is there, really?
Although, was I tempted to change it to make you delete it again? Maybe, but I won't.
You know what? It seems like you haven't changed from being a toddler. Are you going to hold your breath now until you pass out? All right. We have to do wig watch because Moira did don a wig this episode. And
I feel like this is an iconic one, right?
I love this one. It's bright white.
I've seen it a lot.
It's a bob with a bang, which I do love on Moira. I love this.
You like a bob with a bang?
Fringe. Sorry.
So does Gwen.
Stop it. Listen, if Bob had jogged, yes, you know.
We haven't seen Bob in so long. Is he still alive?
Stop! How dare you? How
you've not seen him this season, have we?
Well, he needs to come back because he's the best. Does, yeah.
Alas. I like her little like ribbony tie thing.
Yeah.
She's got in this outfit. Yeah. It's a good look. It's a strong look. I'm gonna keep vamping while you stare down your dogs.
Won't stop today.
Bless him.
Okay, that's our wig watch. Time to tier rank the episode. Let me pull this up tough. On screen.
Because like, yeah. Where does it sit?
Here's the thing. I personally think at most this can be in the Love That Journey for me. Like at most it's average. But like I could be swayed to you, David, if you were so inclined. Like it's teetering for me, I think.
See, my instinct was, yeah, you, David. But then what I said at the beginning, I think is still relevant. I think that perhaps this isn't necessarily fair, because if we judge it on this season, absolutely it should be new David. It's definitely down from the plant. It's definitely down on all of the others are above it. So like it earns its place there. But it's not fair when we judge it against the rest of the seasons, because this episode, I would wager, is up there with some of the higher episodes of like season one and season two. So are we factoring that into this whole process? And I kind of feel like I have been for a lot of the ratings. So I'm thinking compromise bottom of Love That Journey for me.
I think that's fair. I think that's really fair. It's hard when there are so many good episodes in these later seasons that when you have a bit of a like wah wah of an episode, it's like so much more tempting to put it really low because you're like, what the heck happened? You know? But there's still some good stuff to enjoy in this episode. I don't feel as down on it as I know there was another, I can't remember the name of it, but there was an episode that we did put in you, David, that I was like, what was kind of the point of this one? You know? I don't necessarily feel that way about this one. So Rock On can go in the bottom of Love That Journey for me. I'm okay with that. Look at that. Look at how good this season is doing. Yeah. So
exactly. Yeah. It also makes the season look really good as well.
So aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
So next week, Stuart, would you like to know the title of our episode?
Yes, please.
Season 5, episode 7, A Whisper of Desire.
A Whisper of Desire.
What do you think that means?
Sounds, I don't know, A Whisper of Desire. That sounds like a really crappy porno film. It's someone's like old porno from like old days gonna come out. Who knows?
Oh my god.
Is it like a cheesy romance novel that maybe takes over the town, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is just A Whisper of Desire. Maybe someone has, I don't know, a flirtation with someone.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just coming up with things. But yeah, if it was a porno, that'd be the funniest.
I think you're going to be excited after next week's episode for a very specific
reason. Don't say that after I suggest it's a porno. That's the worst thing you could say, Jess. That's outrageous. Did you just not put those things together? Because I was like, alarm bells.
Oh, no, but you are going to like one of the... So I will say there's a storyline that starts next episode that I know you're going to be excited about. And I'll leave it at that. So that is next week. Oh, with a whisper of desire. A whisper. But yeah, until then, Stuart, what else do you have going on? What do you want to plug?
We are 4 episodes into season 2 of The Last of Us, which we're covering over on Look for the Light podcast. It is a journey. We cover it in a real deep dive where we go through not only the episode, but the official podcast and all of like the previews and everything. We dive into it in the most detail that is so in depth. It's a lot, obviously very different vibes from Schitt's Creek, but obviously it is also one of the best shows on TV at the moment. So if you're not watching The Last of Us, you really should be watching it. And of course, if you're going to be watching it, you may as well listen to a really good accompanying podcast as well. So check us out and Look for the Light podcast.
Exactly. You can also check me out on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Stuart's been there a couple times. So check out that podcast, Buffy and Felicity stuff happening over there. But next week we'll be back with Schitt's Creek season 5, episode 7, A Whisper of Desire. And until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.